We don't think it's going to happen to ourselves. That's the most amazing thing, isn't it? Because material life means everything. Everyone's here temporarily. We're all going to leave our body, but we think, you know, in the future. Anyway, at least now we have the chance to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, so let's try to pay attention and sing along, okay? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Don't forget to sing, okay? We'll try it again. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Badadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Badadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamunati Ravanachari. Jamunati Ravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa, Padi Bhajakacharya, Aso Tara Sata Sri Shiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Shri Gaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nishananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas, Adigor, Bhakta ki jai. Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopina, Chatma Kund, Radha Kund, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathura Dham ki jai, Navadweep Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai, Jamuna Mayi ki jai, Ganga Mayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Sri Mati Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Gaur Premanandi, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the devotees who aren't saying anything just yet. Ki jai. Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from the third canto. The chapter is called The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. We're on text number 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And if you know these verses, you can sing along. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam totodayam udirayet nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Now, how many know the translation? It's not as loud. The translation's never as loud, but it's okay. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. And we also like to offer our respectful obeisances and gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, who translated it and gave us the commentaries to help us understand what it's really about. And you know what happens? By regular attendance in classes in the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees. But you know, pure devotees aren't just like only, there's only three pure devotees. All the devotees who have a pure desire to serve Krishna are considered pure devotees. So by rendering service unto the pure devotees, help. All that is troublesome to the heart is, thank you, is completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, that's in Sanskrit, that's Uttama Shloka, praised with transcendental songs, is established as a fact that can never be taken away from you or stolen from you or ripped out of your hands or lost or nullified. Never. So you always get some benefit, even if there's not such a great person giving the class. Haha, because they read from the Bhagavatam. Okay. So we're in text 31. And guess what? I'm hoping that you'll repeat the Sanskrit, okay? Kusha kashmaya, kusha kashamayam bahir. Kusha kashamayam bahir. Asritya bhagavan manu. Asdirya bhagavan manu. Ayajjad jnana purusham. Labdhastanam yato bhuvam. Kusha kashamayam bahir. Astirya Bhagavan Manu. Ayajjad Jnana Purusham. Labdhastanam Yato Bhuvam. Please chant. Kusha Kasha Mayam Bahir. Astirya Bhagavan Manu. Labdhastanam Yato Bhuvam. Kusha Kasha Mayam Bahir. Astirya Bhagavan Manu. Ayajjad-yajya-purusham labdhastanam yato bhuvam. Students? Kusha kasha mayam bahir. Astirya bhagavan manu. Ayajjad-yajya-purusham labdhastanam yato bhuvam. Kusha kasha mayam bahir. Asti bhagavan manu. Ayajajagya Purusham. Labhastanam yato bhuvam. The word for word? Kusha? Of Kusha grass. Kasha. And of Kasha grass. Mayam. Made. Barhi. Asit. Asteria. Having spread. Bhagavan. The greatly fortunate. Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, Ayajat, worshipped, Yajna Purusham, the Lord Vishnu, Labdha, having achieved, Stanam, the abode, Yata, from whom, Bhuvam, the earth. So here's the translation, and then I'll put it in a little context for you. Manu, which means Swayambhuva Manu, Manu spread a seat of Kusha and Kasha. So what did it say that Kusha and Kasha was? Grass. So he said, and these are special types of grasses that are used particularly in yajna. They're very pure. Okay, so he spread a seat of Kusha and Kasha and worshiped the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Now here's the most important part of the verse. By whose grace he had obtained the rule of the terrestrial globe, of the whole earth. Manu, this Swayambhuva Manu, who's now doing a yajna to please the Supreme Lord, he's spreading this grass, the Kusha and Kasha grass, and he wants to worship the Lord out of gratitude. That's what Prabhupada's going to say in the purport. Okay, one more time, the verse. Manu spread a seed of Kusha and Kasha and worshiped the Lord, the personality of Godhead, by whose grace he had obtained the rule of the terrestrial globe, of the entire earth. So just to put it in perspective, because the title of this chapter is called The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, one might wonder, well, who's Swayambhuva Manu? Why are we talking about Swayambhuva Manu? So does anybody remember from all the classes that you've heard who Swayambhuva Manu is in relation to Kardama Muni and Devahuti from our students? Hang in there. Okay, go ahead. He's Devahuti's father. He's the father of Devahuti. So according to, thank you. So according to the Vedic tradition, the father is his service, it's his duty. He has the responsibility to get his children married, particularly the girls. So she expressed her desire who she wanted to marry, and he got on his chariot with her and her mother, and they go out in searching for the ashram of Kardama Muni. But there's one thing I forgot. Omagina timirandasya jinanjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. It's never too late to offer your respects to Srila Prabhupada, who very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I'm indebted to Srila Prabhupada and beg for service at his lotus feet life after life. Hare Krishna. So Manu, taking care, fulfilling. So in the beginning of time, the world wasn't very populated. It just had appeared. Lord Brahma had just appeared on his lotus flower. He just created the planetary systems, upper planetary systems where the enjoyment is very nice, and middle planetary system where sometimes it's nice and sometimes there's trouble, and then the lower planetary systems where everything is particularly hellish and painful and disturbing. So he had just created that planetary system, and now he needed to populate it with the jivas, the living souls. You have a question already? Yes, dear, go ahead. That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question right in the beginning. Populating means filling up the universe. This, like, we could say, the temple room is very populated today. Why? Because there's so many students here. If the students weren't here, there'd be less population, there'd be less people. It has to do with people. But not just people in human forms bodies. It can also mean animals. It can mean trees and grass. So it needed to be filled up. So the universes were there. The home, the place where they were going to live was there. But it wasn't full yet of people. In fact, they hadn't been born yet. So Manu was one. He was the very first ruler of the entire Earth planet. And he was the very first person who had that service to help get things moving and help people be born and take birth and do things. So that was Swayambhuva Manu's service. It's given to him from Brahma. Anyway, so he was fulfilling that service, and he was it wasn't that populated. He was trying to get his daughter married to Kardama Muni, who was a sage. He was a sage in the forest. So it wasn't like he was like a big businessman or a big anything. He was a sage living very humbly and simply in the forest, braiding somebody's hair during class. No? No, I didn't think he was doing that. Okay, good. All right. When he went to Kardama Muni, Kardama Muni also had, he also had a responsibility. And he was supposed to help. Kardama Muni was supposed to help in propagating. Propagating means developing. Propagating means creating more living entities to fill the universe. So he had been performing. He didn't just think, okay, let me just get married. No, he said, let me do some austerities so that I'll become cleansed in heart and peaceful in mind and pure in actions and pure in desires and create good population, good people would come from that. So he did his austerities for a few years. But in his time, because they lived in a long, and they lived longer lives than we do, he did his austerities for thousands of years, 10,000 years austerities, so that he could get a nice wife who would help him produce children, and they would continue to produce more and more and fill up the universe. And they've done a good job, right? Because the universe is, the world is pretty full now. But in the beginning, it wasn't so full. So anyway, Swayambhuva Manu was living in a whole different place. Devahuti had heard of the daughter. Devahuti had heard of Kardama Muni, and she thought, oh, yeah, that's the kind of husband I want. I want a pure-hearted husband who knows religious principles and who's willing to follow the instructions of his father. That's the kind of husband I want because I want him to be a good example for my kids, etc., etc. So she mentioned it to her mother, probably, but I don't really know exactly who. But anyway, and the father brings her out. So they had met. Swayambhuva Manu had come to Kardama Muni's ashram. Where was his ashram? Where was his ashram? Yes, it was. Thank you. It was in the forest. So he had come to the forest to meet Kardama Muni and offer his daughter to him in marriage. And Swayambhuva Manu said, yes, I'll accept her because she's not married, because and she hasn't given her heart or her desire. She didn't want to marry somebody else. She wasn't like, she was attracted to him. She wanted to marry him. Said, yes, I'll accept her. And but there's a little condition. There's usually conditions, so you always have to pay attention for the conditions in anything. So he said, as soon as she becomes pregnant, or when she gives birth to children, then after that, I'm going to take sannyas. So that was all very clear. He wasn't going to like stay with her to the very end of life and forget the purpose of life. He said, no, I'm going to do my responsibilities properly as a father. I'll take care of the children. As soon as she has a son, then I'm going out. I'm going to take sannyas. So that was all very clear. And so there was a nice exchange between Kardama Muni and who? Who's the father of Devahuti? Swayambhuva Manu. Yeah, so there was a nice exchange, very respectfully. The king, Swayambhuva, very respectfully talked to the sage. The sage very respectfully encouraged the king to do his service nicely and take care of his citizens, etc., etc. And now, Swayambhuva Manu has left Kardama Muni's ashram. He's back in his hometown, you could say, in his kingdom. Everyone, all of his citizens were really happy to see him return. So happy they had a big festival when he came back. And now he's back in his palace and he's about to offer this sacrifice. Okay, that's the preamble to the class. Okay, so here's the purport. Manu is the father of mankind. And therefore, from Manu comes the word. What word do you see in that, in an English word? What word do you see in that word, Manu? Man. So there's often very much similarity, even in the ancient Sanskrit writing and Sanskrit words and today's words. Sometimes this one is particularly close, right? Manu and man. So Prabhupada says, Manu comes from the word. And therefore, from Manu comes the word man, or in Sanskrit, manushya. Those who are, now this is important, those who are in a better position in the world, having sufficient wealth, should especially take lessons from Manu, who acknowledged his kingdom and opulences to be the result of all his hard work that he did all by himself. No? Oh, okay. Oh, thanks. Maybe I should read it better. Okay. So he who acknowledged his kingdom and opulence to be, let's hear it from you guys. Okay, thanks. So that's a very important point. So what did it say? It said that somebody who's got the benefits of being particularly wealthy or having a lot of possessions should realize that these are not by my endeavor. These are gifts by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, it sounds very sweet to say it and sounds really easy to understand it, but it's not very easy to understand, is it? Because it seems like if you don't work hard, that's what we say here in good old America and probably other places in the world, that what's going to happen to you when you grow up is a result of how hard you work for it. So there's a factor there. Yes, it does depend on your hard work, but not only your hard work. There's hard work, there's endeavor, there's desire. Now, like, if we were going to ask, you don't have to bother to answer this question, but if we were going to ask, who would like to be rich when they grow up? I think there'd be a sufficient number of hands, right? Right? You'd like to be rich. So many of us would like to be rich, but not very many of us are. So does that mean that we didn't work hard enough? Yes, kind of yes. But it's also what we're talking about here is acknowledging that all of these gifts, all of these things come by the Lord's mercy, not just by our endeavor. I'll continue reading since you're already leaving. Okay. Similarly, the descendants of Manu, or human beings, there's a few of us here, or human beings, especially those who are situated in a well-to-do condition, must consider that whatever riches they have are gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those riches should be utilized for the service of the Lord in sacrifices performed to please him. That is the way of utilizing wealth and opulence. No one can achieve wealth, opulence, good birth, a beautiful body, or a nice education without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, those who are in possession of such valuable facilities must acknowledge their gratefulness to the Lord by worshiping him and offering what they receive from him and offering what they receive, what they have received from him. They offer that back to the Lord. So did you catch a key word just in that last sentence? Should I read it again? Because I'm not that last sentence. The one that said... Okay, Therefore, those who are in, there's one key word here. Therefore, those who are in possession of such valuable facilities must acknowledge their gratefulness to the Lord by worshiping Him and offering what they have received from Him. So what is it and why is it? Why is it that someone should offer something to the Lord? Why? Why should we offer something that we have back to the Lord? What's that a sign of? How about in the back, the last two or three rows of boys in the back? Is that possible? Gratitude, thank you. I saw that look in your eyes that you knew it anyway. So anyway, Hare Krishna, thanks. Yeah, gratitude. So what does gratitude mean to you, guys?
It's our quality of
They should all have an answer. They should be grateful that they're getting this in their last quarter of study. Gratitude. So what does gratitude mean? Why should we offer gratitude? Why should we be grateful? Oh, best of the last two rows. There's a hand. Thank you. Thanks for pointing it out. There's a person blocking his hand. Yes, go ahead. Oh, it's my little friend. Okay, Hare Krishna. Mr. Purushottam. Okay, what? Why should we be grateful? Krishna made all of these arrangements for us, and we should offer it back to him, understanding, which is not what you said, but thank you very kindly. Yeah, understanding that without his grace, it's not going to happen. We can make our endeavor, we can do this, we can do that, but Krishna's not obliged. He's not our Amazon in the sky, man. Click. I want this, click, I want that. He's not our Amazon in the sky supplier. He's not obliged. It's not that we paid our $12.95 and we clicked on the thing and we should get it delivered tomorrow. No, Krishna's not obliged, but we're obliged to him. And it's a simple thing, isn't it? But it's a really difficult thing. It's called a change in attitude. We have to change our outlook. Not so simple, because we get conditioned to think I'm the most important, I'm the center, everything should rotate around my desires, everyone should do what I want them to do, no one should be doing what I don't want them to do, you know? And that we think like that all the time, but actually everything is totally in a different mindset. Oh, the Supreme Lord is so kind that he's giving me this facility. Oh, the Supreme Lord is giving me this challenge. Oh, the Supreme Lord is very kind. Now I have this challenge with my foot, and I've hurt my foot, and I have to work in this way, etc., etc. But it's Krishna's mercy to show me that this material life is a temporary solution. But what's the eternal factor in life? That I'm a servant of Krishna. And that this body, the one that I have right now, even though it's very dear to me, isn't the only one that I've had. I've had millions of bodies, millions of lifetimes, millions of circumstances, but I still have one thing that's the same throughout all of those circumstances and lives. And the one thing that's the same through all of those is that I'm part and parcel of Krishna. I'm a part of Krishna. I'm part of him. Therefore, it's my... Duty sounds like there's no fun, but anyway, it's my duty to serve him. And if I fulfill that duty, that obligation with gratitude, with love, with a little appreciation, then there's that reciprocation, that transcendental reciprocation from the Supreme Lord. So there's a little more in our purport here. I'll try to finish up here. Okay, so I'm just going to read that sentence again. Therefore, those who are in possession of such valuable facilities must acknowledge their gratefulness to the Lord by worshiping him and offering what they have received from him. When such acknowledgement is given, either by a family, a nation, or society, wow, that can you think of a nation that would be doing that right now? I can think of one that should be doing it. When such acknowledgement is given, either by a family, a nation, or society, their abode becomes almost like Vaikuntha and becomes free from the operation of the threefold miseries of this material world.
an operation by the threefold miseries. Do you remember what the threefold miseries are, those categories of miseries? They do. They just don't want to say it, right? Okay. Well, then will you tell us, Professor, what those threefold miseries are? Like teachers. Oh, so like other living entities, like mosquitoes. Pushottam, you have one? Disturbances like too much heat, too much cold, and the drought, no rain. Yes, Prabhu? Demigods, yes. And there's another misery, and it's sitting on our shoulder. Can you take it off? The misery is caused by the mind. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. It makes you sad. But that's not who I am. So anyway, so how do you, now we're talking about these threefold miseries. Why are we talking about those threefold miseries? What was just said in that sentence? How you get free from those miseries and your place becomes like Vaikuntha if you... Right, you're right. Offer in gratitude the possessions that you have. What you have, you offer in gratitude to the Supreme Lord. You acknowledge, by His grace, these are coming to me. These good things are happening. And even the bad things, that's another class, but anyway. Okay, Prabhupada continues to say, in the modern age, the mission of Krishna consciousness is for everyone to acknowledge the supremacy of Lord Krishna. Whatever one has in his possession must be considered a gift by the grace of the Lord. Everyone, therefore, should engage in devotional service through Krishna consciousness. If one wants to be happy and peaceful in his position, either as a householder or a citizen or a member of human society, one must promote devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord. So such nice words and such nice sentiment. How are we going to do that? And why should we do that? Let's go to the why. Let's go to the why. That's what was said in the whole purport and this whole verse, why one should do that. Because if why one should offer their gratitude to the Supreme Lord, let's expand on that conversation for another half of a minute till you guys got to leave. Why? Why one should express their gratitude to the Supreme Lord? To be happy. And why will we be happy just by doing that? Why? They'll leave us. And because we're part of the Lord, we're thinking that we're independent. One of my problems is that I'm thinking I'm separate from the Lord. And I'm thinking, therefore, I can be happy by my endeavor. But if I'm not separate from the Lord, if I'm part and parcel of the Lord, if I please Him, the source of my creation, the source of my existence, then He'll be happy. He's already happy. But anyway, He'll be happy with me, and then I'll be happy. So our pleasure doesn't come. Here's a really hard thing to digest. Our pleasure doesn't come from our own endeavor. Our pleasure comes from the happiness of the Lord. And therefore, someone who has that mentality, even when they might be in difficulties and whatever, challenged in so many ways, they appreciate Krishna's so kind. He's given me this challenge in life. I deserve worse because I've forgotten Him for so long. I actually deserve worse, but He's so kind. He's just given me a little teeny bit, a little token, it said, a little teeny bit of challenge. Suffering, misery, or whatever. But He's so kind. And if somebody thinks, oh, my family is doing great, I have enough food to eat, I had a nice breakfast today, you know, I get to go to a nice school, I have some clothes to wear, you know, so many nice clean clothes to wear. So when somebody acknowledges that and says, thank you, Krishna, for these benefits, it's not just by my work or my father's work or somebody else's work that I have those things. It's by Krishna's mercy. And what does it also mean? It also means that Krishna can take those things away in a second. Krishna can take our Krishna can take our ability. We might be the best basketball player in the region, in the state even. We might even be the tallest one. Who's the tallest basketball player at UF right now? I bet you know his name. Oh, I knew you would know his name. So, but Krishna, okay, now we're not talking about him because we're not wishing any bad thing for any particular person, but whatever ability we have, even the ability to remember, can be taken away by Krishna. That's something that I'm experiencing these days. Even the ability to remember can be taken away by Krishna at any second. Even the ability to speak can be taken away by Krishna at any second. We're thinking that these are a done deal, but they're not. They're all gifts from Krishna. So therefore, while we still can remember, and while we still have a tongue, we should utilize it in the service of the Lord. And that's what Prabhupada's saying here. Utilize what you have now in the service of the Lord. Offer it in gratitude toward him. Offer the results in gratitude towards him. And then, by his grace, we'll be living in a bubble, a Hare Krishna bubble. That the threefold miseries of adiatmic, adibhautik, and adidaivik, or the miseries of the demigods, or nature, or the mind, or other living entities, they won't disturb us so much that they push us off of our platform of Krishna consciousness. You don't want to get pushed off. You don't want to get your Krishna consciousness pushed out of your brain or your heart or your desire. You want to keep that, and you want to cherish that, and you want to cultivate it. You want to, just like you're, I'm sure at a certain point, you're cultivating things. Do you still have a garden anymore? You keep having classrooms put where your garden used to be, but okay. But anyway, so you're cultivating something in your garden that's somewhere down there. And what do you do with it? Is that where you play the soccer? On top of the garden where you just planted the squashes? No, because you try to nurture it. Give it what it needs. What does it need? It needs a little sun. It needs some water. It needs some kind words. It does. It really needs kind words. But anyway, so in our Krishna consciousness, we try to cultivate that also. We need good association. And you're all good association because there's somebody in your family that's thinking Krishna consciousness is really important, even if it particularly at this time in your life, you might not be personally thinking that it's really important at this stage. But it is really important because it helps give you, what do you call it? A reservoir of something to draw from when life's difficulties fall on your head or your foot or wherever they fall, you know. It gives us strength to go on in life. So that main points in this verse and purport? What an attitude? What's the main point of an attitude of a devotee should be? Whoever said it, can you say it a little louder? Go ahead, do it again. I don't know who it was. Okay. Gratitude. And okay, now here's another little quick little lesson. Now you guys each think of some way you could be expressing gratitude to Krishna, some personal way you could express your gratitude to Krishna. Now this particular Manu, he was expressing his gratitude via the medium of doing that yajna, that fire sacrifice. And what did he spread down before he did his fire sacrifice? Ant, the grass. What kind of grass? Kusha and Kasha grass. He spread that. So that's how he was expressing his attitude. How can we express our attitude, our attitude of gratitude to Krishna? Simple ways, something. Yeah, and you're going to have to give an example. Yes, dear. By offering our food. Thank you. Thanks. Aunt. Chanting japa. Ew, thanks. Yes. Preaching. Whoa, that's scary. Yeah. Narda. Kirtan. Yes. Okay. Let's go in the little, our favorite back two rows back there. Ha ha ha. Not you. Yet. Okay, back two rows, like maybe Shri. How would you like, how could you theoretically express gratitude towards the Lord? While you're thinking, but I'm going to call you back in a minute, okay? Someone else back there in the last two rows? The last two rows, I don't know very many names, but I'm still picking on you in general, okay? Everybody who's looking down on the ground very nicely. Aha! Okay, how about over there? Yes, dear. Yeah, thank you. So what I heard was when you're going to bed and sleeping, you're offering your prayers. Is that what you said, more or less? Okay, thanks. That's perfect. So the point being, and Sri's going to be next in a second or two, and the point being that it can be in very, very simple ways. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but it has to be a conscious endeavor. Okay, Sri. Okay, somebody who's a friend of Sri has to help him, give him an idea. Whisper something to him. Can you give him something to tell him? Oh, that's a great idea. Thanks. Thank you, and thanks for your help. Yes, yeah, so anyway, it can be a simple idea. And it doesn't, donating money to the temple doesn't mean $1 million. It could, and it would be very nice if it was. You wouldn't see that Mukhi would say, oh, no, we don't accept $1 million. We only accept $20 bills. She wouldn't say that. But it could be. It could be your 50 cents, it could be a dollar, it could be something, That's my point is, it could be something that's doable for you. The point is try to express your gratitude. Okay, that's your homework. Try to express your gratitude toward the Lord today, okay? Sometime, like probably in the next 2.5 seconds, because then you'll forget. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Oh, that's a great idea. Rathyatra, that would be a way to do all of those things. So thank you very kindly. Here's the verse once again so that we can tune in. Manu spread a seed of Kusha and Kasha and worshiped the Lord, the personality of Godhead, by whose grace he obtained the rule of the terrestrial globe. So one point that I was going to bring up were the five factors of action. The five factors of action mentioned in the 18th chapter of the Gita. I had to have somebody help me find that verse this morning. But the point is that in general, our general mentality is to think that, you know, there's only one or two factors of action. That's me and my endeavor. But there's so many factors of action that, but ultimately the sanction comes from the Supersoul. And that whole activities of understanding the five factors of action, that helps us put things in a proper perspective. That it's not that just by my endeavor alone, but it's by Krishna's mercy and Krishna's sanction and Krishna's approval that we can do anything. And therefore acknowledging his superior position over our teeny position. Comments or questions or corrections or additions? Or release. Okay, that's it. You're good to go. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very kindly.